Installing this show with Charlene, Deb, Kristen, Brianna, Lee, and Rika was like the funnest day all year. Wasn't it? Such beautiful work. And I guess we want to make winter last a little longer.
Well, we definitely want to make these images last a little bit longer in terms of what they represent.
That's
for
right.
Sure.
That's for darn sure.
Yeah. So I guess I'm on for starting. First of all, thank you very much for showing up for this evening. And thanks to Bunnell for hosting this event and allowing us to show our pieces here. It's a real honor. I have something written down. And I'm going to kind of read it because I'm afraid I won't say it. Maybe I don't even know how well I wrote it, but at the same level. And it's a little bit personal, but it's just, I moved to Homer back in 1980. And when I did, I fell in love with this place immediately. A lot of it was the people who are here. A lot of it was the view and just this place, what it represented. And a lot of it was the simplicity of life. You just really felt like, or I felt like I was really moving into something that was simple, that was easy to navigate, that just made me feel good. And I could, please do come on in, and that I could enjoy the space that I was living in without the clutter that has a tendency to take over life. The Homer's seen a lot of change over the last 40 plus years that I have been here, and it's been quite dramatic to see those changes. I have my own personal feelings in reference to that. And this show kind of is my response to some of those changes that I'm seeing, specifically in habitat and the fast growth that were taking place. And I'm really straying from what I've written now, so I'm going to kind of ad lib. So one of the things that, when I first lived here, and I love nature. I absolutely love nature. I love everything that we find in nature, from the littlest weeds to the creatures, and then, of course, to the gorgeous views that we have. And I was always drawn to that. When I first lived here, I used to take hikes. I lived in a cabin. We got our own water, harvested wood, did all the things that you need, had the outhouse, did all the things that made life really simple. When you walk to a neighbor's house, we trudged our way through the, not trudged, we walked gently, actually, under the spruce trees because the canopy was there and you could just go on pretty much a straight line to, as long as you knew the direction, you could get to where you wanted to go. It was just such a simple, easy way to go. I walk every day right now, and I stay a lot in Homer and just navigating what used to be the trails, or let's say the hummocks that we used to climb over to get from place to place, or the trails that we took, have now turned into roads. And even though I still frequent the trails that we are maintaining to connect us from the old and the new, the roads are challenging because what they've done is they've opened up these vast spaces where the history of where I used to walk is gone, the history of what I used to see is gone, and yet it's opened up these incredible views. That is really what a lot of what we're all here for. But I worry about where that's taking us and the growth that we're going to see in this community and how we make the decisions as to where and how we do want to grow. I know there's a lot of conversations taking place in this community, and I hope that those conversations can really draw in this audience and really a cross-generational audience, because one of the things that really held me here was the people who were here before me and had this history that I loved hearing and them share and learn from. And we need to keep that going. We need that history to stay here. And that takes me to where I am right now. I started with just this concept and approached Asia on it at one point of just wanting to, in essence, kind of memorialize these places that I'm so drawn to. And especially as I look across the bay that I'm just so drawn to. And I realize that they're changing so incredibly fast, and it scares me. It just scares me as to what I'm losing. And I'm going to talk about a few of them. Probably one that really hits me hard is Green Glacier, and I think that hits all of us hard. As you come over the hill and you see that view across the bay, you love it. You're captivated by it. That image is so different than from the image I saw when I first moved here. I needed to capture it because I want to memorialize what we see now. And as I look across the bay on my walks through town, I fear, looking specifically at that left side where the tailings are, that, or where the moraine is, that I might not, that might have changed dramatically from last year just to this year. Kennecott, I'll speak to this piece in the corner. This is my trail to get to Root Glacier. And back in the day when I made my first trek to the glacier through Kennecott, it was kind of uneventful in a way. It was short. There wasn't a lot growing up on the terrain yet. You know, it was relatively new in my eyes it was new, but in terms of its movement backward and its shrinkage. And over the years that I've been there, you've seen more of the plants. So that's the succession of plants that are growing. You start in the spruce forest and you eventually end up on just rock surface. But you see these plants in the progress of going there. And we're seeing that change so dramatically. So that one struck me. Which other one did I? The Kenai River, you know, the playground that we have there. That piece is just one that, to me, it kind of captures a little bit of where we're going and are we going to be able to say this when you look at what's happened on the Kenai River throughout that length, again, over just the 40 years that I've been here in terms of building and usage and fish. It's just a struggle. I'm going to go to the black and white image. This is, I kind of jumped a little bit here, but this is where I started. When I first started to think about climate change, and I hadn't even thought about this, Nancy, but you were a major influence on me with this, with your first book. Well, the first book that I read that you wrote. And it was dealing with climate change. And to me, it's such a black and white issue. And so this piece was kind of my first experiment of trying to take my art to a different level and really deal with texture and simplicity. So again, dealing with the theme of glaciers, I just started to put on wood glaciers with not really representing any specific one, but then play with texture and what you're seeing through it. And then, of course, just the whole concept of this is such a black and white issue, and yet we struggle so much to accept it. Couple of fun ones. I'll change the topic a little bit. In 1983, I had the opportunity to go up into Tutka, hike up onto the ice field up there and cross it on skis and then raft down the Wasnesenka. And this summer, or this winter and spring, as numerous people have been sharing their trips down the Waz, I was like, I gotta do a piece on the Waz. Yeah. And so that one is just from memory. And all I remember is coming down the glacier, hitting the moraine, hiking down. We had so much gear with us, rafts and everything, plus dogs. And when we hit the river and started rafting, I remember a ton of rocks and hitting this rock face that it was like, oh my God, this is gonna eat us up. But we did manage to paddle through or make the turn with everybody, yeah, anyways. So that's what I remember there, is just all these rock faces, obstacles as you come down. And as people share their images from this year, their trips, I don't remember it being so flat. And it really, there's really a wide flow out there now. I remember it being much steeper on edges. So anyways, that's where that one came from. This piece came from all the it's growing playground, winter playground. Gruing's winter playground. So it reminded me of just all the ice skating and things that take place, but most specifically in the winter, there was a story about Kelsey Pate who broke through or skated through and broke through the ice. And so that was in honor of Kelsey and her story. So pretty much I think that's all that I need to say about it. But my hope, I'm trying to have fun here. I'm trying to grow as an artist. COVID and just the last 4 years have left me with a great opportunity to just develop my skill and try to take it to another place. And a lot of it is playing with texture and trying to create more of a story through simplicity. So thank you.
My name is Kristen Link, and I I'm honored to show with two Homer artists because it's fun to bring my McCarthy artwork here and show with people who have the connection to this place. So I contributed the cyanotypes, and all of them are from the Root and Kennecott glaciers and Wrangell St. Elias, so closer to my home. And they came out of also kind of getting to know, though not over the same time span, but I've lived out there for 13 years. And some of my first jobs that I did there were working as a hiking guide, taking people hiking on the glacier, on the Root Glacier, which I think many of you have gotten to do. And really getting to know the surface of the ice and recognizing the different features, and then seeing how when I went back the next year, even over the course of the summer, how much they changed. But also kind of getting to know them on that like monotonous level where you see them every day and you almost get kind of tired of things, which is kind of a relationship I feel with drawing, which is something I love. It's my favorite thing. But I love the way you get to know something when it does become familiar on that level, and then seeing how they change and kind of saying like, oh, this Mulan was here and now it's here, or the Root Glacier Trail has gone longer and longer every year. The whole glacier has gone down a lot. So really becoming familiar with those places, watching them change, and thinking about how to capture that. So the process that I use or used for this body of work is cyanotype of drawing. And what I do, I brought some examples to show you and pass around. But basically, cyanotype is an alternative photographic process where I make a drawing of a negative. So the fun part about this is that I get to draw the areas that become white, which is really fun with glaciers. And then I place this onto paper that I treat with cyanotype chemicals and leave it out in the sun to expose so that the UV in the sun basically creates a chemical process that activates the cyanotype chemicals, and then when you wash it off with water, it fixes it so that that print stays the same. And what I love about this is that it's kind of a collaboration with the environment. So depending on what the weather's doing, how strong the sun is, different things can happen. And then it's also sort of a physical process of just putting this paper on top of the paper, and then different things happen. So sometimes there are kind of blurry spots where the drawing is farther away from the paper. And I don't have a lot of control over that, but it's addictive to go back and see kind of what happens and continue to make these prints from that. And then I love that I get to create something that's sort of part drawing, part photo. So it has these different categories or ways of capturing. They have a sense of time passing in the 10 minutes or 20 minutes that I make the print. And it really feels like I'm trying to fix this thing that's in my memory that's changing, and kind of captures that change in dynamic part in something that ends up being static. So I felt like once I started making these drawings of glaciers and exposing them with the sunshine, I was like, this is the thing that it's meant to go for. So 2 years ago, I had an exhibit with some of them, and then Asia pushed me to try and make them bigger, which is what I've been working on for this show. And just kind of having that exploration of pushing the scale of the drawings and that process, which has been a fun challenge. But yeah, I think that's what I have to say. So.
It's been such a pleasure to come and have two other artists, and we created something so magical. And it's such a reminder that coming together and creating creates something even more magical, the power of working together. And hopefully that power of working together is something that we can again do to address our changing climate, and that just a little bit together creates so much power. I want to thank Asia for her vision for this show, and I want to thank Bree and Rika for their magic of running. She was saying it was so fun, that running around and like, oh my God, this piece works with this piece. Oh my God, this one communicates with this piece. Oh wow. And it was like we were like on fire, like, oh, over here. And then, oh, and it was the art of curating. And the three artists, all three of us just stood back and just watched them like create magic in the room. And so that's a real, was fun. This really shows our love for the land. And for me, I showed about the melting, about the cracking, about the on fire, and about development, and how all those have altered and changed our landscapes. And I want to talk about the one piece that, it's funny because the glacier is one, yeah, it takes time and takes work, but I've been doing lots of work similar to that and showing around the state. But it's the one that, this one, which seems the simplest, is the one that I worked the most on. And it's like, the top part, this is a fourth version. The whole thing, I've did it like three times. And part of the reason is I had it very detailed and realistic, and I kept trying to pare it down and get the simplicity, the power to show nature's vibrance, to when you're standing there that you are feeling it, not just, oh, that's a pretty picture, but so between the size and the power of the stroke, I wanted to experience what I'd felt when we were coming down after days of hiking the Resurrection Trail through the South End and coming across Juneau Creek Falls, which I never knew about. I'm like, how can I not know about a fall that is so big? And then walking some more aimlessly, and then seeing this whole expanse that had been all the trees taken down. And that is where they're building the, where the highway in Cooper Landing is being diverted. And then down below, you'll see the bridge. That's the actual architectural drawing of the bridge that's going there. And they are also doing some places for animals to go through and passes, and they've been really trying hard to do that. But so that's what that piece is about. Now, on this is done on rice paper, and it's fun. In this show, you get to see this, because what I do for the bigger pieces, I take the rice paper, and then I spray it with 77M, like glue, and then we have the piece of acrylic, and we've practiced. I always find someone who doesn't really know what they're getting themselves into. And then we practice, and then we place it down, and it's a one-shot thing. Once you put it, it doesn't move. And so then, you should say blessing, but we put it down, and then the paper, when I'm painting, you see here, like it's kind of crinkled. And then when I lay it down, it smooths it out. And so then I take a brayer, and wherever it falls, you have the creases in it. And so it's really fun to let the medium do its own thing. And then I seal it, which is fun because this is the back of the painting. So you get to see the whole process. That is sealed with a gel medium. And so those pieces can be viewed in the window, or I have them at home. Sometimes it's screens, and so you can see them from both sides, which is a lot of fun. And what I've done. Oh, and so I teach kids a lot. And when I teach kids, I'm always trying to tell them, like, oh, I don't want to hear that it's not good, or are you just trying your hardest, and to go with the flow. And so I've been really trying to bring that into my own practice of, like, instead of saying that's so terrible, which I'm the worst, and what I was saying about this one. So we did it, and then the painting actually didn't, like, scrunched in a weird way that a good portion of the plexiglass was showing. And it's like, instead of like, it was more like, okay, how is this going to be part of the process? How is this going to become part of the painting in a new way? And really embracing that. And that's been a lot of fun to let that happen. But yeah, thank you guys all for being here.
Okay.